I'd invite you to turn with me to our lesson from Acts chapter 9. And we have here an account from what's been called, the whole of the book is formally the Acts of the Apostles. Just before this, we've had an introduction to Paul, and so that began the Acts of Paul. But here Luke, he kind of like lets Paul go into the background and brings to the fore, again, Peter. And so these few chapters are called, in some ways, the Acts of Peter. And one of them here is, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, which simply is what we would say gazelle, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. You know, it was the practice of those, usually in Jerusalem, to bury within a day one who died. But in the outer towns, this wasn't so easy. And so, it might be difficult even to find the wrappings that needed for the body. And they anointed with oil. They would have anointed her body with oil and then washed her off. And think about the love that would have gone into this. It reminds you of the love that was shown to Jesus when they came to the tomb. They were going to do the same thing, but they found their what? The empty tomb. They found no Jesus there, but risen from the dead, he came and said. And so Tabitha, Dorcas, she though was laying in this upper room, upstairs room, by those who loved her. And it must have been many, many who were among those who loved her. Lydda, where Peter was, having been with one man named Aeneas, who is, it says just before, a paralytic, for 8 years. And there Peter healed Aeneas. And so Lydda's about 11 miles off, inland from Joppa. Joppa's right there on the sea. It was considered the seaport of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's quite a ways, though, from Joppa itself, but nonetheless, it functioned as the seaport, access to all of the rest of the Mediterranean world. And so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." It's interesting that here again, we don't have any mention. It's not saying the church. They're called disciples. This is at such an early stage in the story of the church that it's not even known as the church. We're called disciples, or as just a little bit later, people of the way. Much less were we not called Christians. It says, as it continues, Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. I tell you, I know somebody here in church who she's a master with clothing. If I tried to hem the hemlines of my clothing, I'd look like I had flood pants on. all the time. Or I can hardly even put a button on. I've got a whole like row of shirts that need buttons put on them. So one of these days, which I don't know when, but I'll get around to fixing those. But Dorcas is one of these people who, as the word is, it's actually a twofold meaning to the word chaitan, can mean underclothing most often, or an outer garment as well. And apparently Dorcas was one of these who was skilled at making them both. I don't think they were lifting up their skirts and saying, hey, look at the neat underwear Dorcas made for me. No, but she must have had an array that was already ready to be given to the poor. And just like we have that box out there that's jammed so that the lid won't even fit down of sneakers and such. She was one who was seeking a way to be engaged with people so that she could help them in whatever way she was able to. And you know, you don't have to be a person who does great things to help a person, do you? Dorcas made underwear. So think of how many things can be done by just simple little acts. Michael Carrigan was writing of his mother in the Wall Street Journal recently. It was a beautiful little article, if you're able to find it. The Blessing of a Mother's Love, he was writing about. And he says, in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. You catch that? It's almost like exactly what Augustine said when he said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. There's a hole that can only be satisfied. We're made for another world. And he went on to say, I understand this insight more fully when I reflect on the earthly blessing of a mother's love. His mother's love. This doesn't require a doctorate in theology to understand. I've always found the bond between a mother and, in his case, her son. You put yourself where you belong. From the latter's perspective, the son or the daughter's perspective, to be the most uncomplicated of human relationships. She's your mom, and you love her. It's as simple as that. It isn't only gratitude for all the freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. It's much more. He talks about how he's seeing his mother, they say, grow older. But he says, you know, when I look at my mom, she's always that 30-ish year old who picked me up from soccer practice. Even though she was working another job, I think she was a scientist and studying neurology. He says that she was the one who connected faith with science, that one can believe and one can be a scientist as well, that the two are not incompatible, but the one informs the other, as Newton said. Memories of her positive life, he goes on to say, in my life are legion. Yet the best evidence of the transcendence of a mother's love is the spell it casts on the beloved, on the one who is loved. Writer and historian Will Durant, interpreting Aristotle, said, "We are what we repeatedly do." Perhaps this is why I don't see time's effects on her. Now, I don't know what he's looking at. I see time's effects on my mother. She's getting frailer, and it's causing me sorrow to see. But the profound impact she's had on me, I couldn't begin to say. And I ventured to say for you, it's the same, isn't it? We are what we repeatedly do. And our mothers, as well as our fathers, they laid that framework for us, didn't they? They brought us to church repeatedly, in most of our cases. They laid down those bits that have formed the structures of our lives. And you know, they too have loved us even when we're not lovable. My grandson is in, my oldest is in a psychiatric hospital now. And he has told me he wants to commit suicide. He finds no purpose in living right now. Let me tell you, we're like Peter, falling on our knees in prayer right now for him and hoping that the Lord raises him up like he did Dorcas. Mothers love through thick and thin alike, don't they? When it's easy and when it's really hard. When someone says, "I love you, Mom," you know, looking up with curly hair and dimples, or saying, "I hate you." Mother's love is like that of Paul's description. Love never ceases. It always hopes, always looks for the good. Peter, he came like that to Dorcas at her side. And Dorcas would have done the same, I believe, for Peter, had she known. What does it say but that she was one who was filled with always doing good and helping the poor? In her day and age, I kind of wonder if she wasn't in a form of ordination to that purpose. You know, the deacons had already been set apart to assist the apostles in their ministry so that they could devote themselves to the gospel preaching. They had been set aside to serve what does it say? The widows, the orphans, and the aliens among us. Perhaps Dorcas was such a one. However she was, Peter, seeing her lying dead upon either the bed or in that room, got down on his knees and prayed. One thing we can take away from this for sure is that there is no power in our lives without prayer. No ability to raise from the dead, lest it be through Jesus Christ and Him alone. I and the Father, he said, in the gospel, are one. And so it's through him that he was able to take her hand and raise her up. The word that's used there is the exact same word in the Greek for the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The exact same word. And even more is a hint to that. What does Peter say? But Tabitha, get up. Remember Jesus said, to Lazarus, Lazarus, talithakume. There's only one letter of difference between Jesus' word and Peter's word. Tabitha, get up. Talithakume, the same. Get up. So one has to almost know that Luke is drawing the connection between the two. And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up, took her by the hand, and helped her to her feet. You know, in the Western world today, many find it difficult, if not impossible, to believe there are such miracles going on. I would just commend to you a book by Craig Keener, a great theologian. It was reviewed in Good News, our magazine from the evangelical wing of the church, by one David Watson, who's the academic dean and New Testament professor at United. Keener wrote a book, Miracles Today, The Supernatural Work of God in the Modern World. And most of this is book. It was like originally two volumes, over 1,000 pages, which he's condensed into one volume. But I commend it to you because he is largely looking around the entire world and pulling out testimonies of miracles in this world. The West, he's saying, has become blinded to what God is doing. Even now, not just then, but to this day. Unfortunately, we in the West in our post-Enlightenment era have become blind to see and deaf to hear what God is doing among us and in us and through us. Miracles, he says, are twofold with their point. The first we see here in Peter's is that they're missional. Joppa was a town largely unconverted, And what does it say? That as this became known in verse 42 all over Joppa, many people believed the Lord. If you look at almost every miracle that's done, it's followed by such a similar phrase as this. Whenever Jesus performed a miracle, many believed and followed him. Whenever a miracle was done like that back in chapter 3, where Peter says to the man who's been begging all his life, there at the gate called Beautiful, at the temple, he's begging for money from Peter and John, and he says what? Silver and gold have I none, and yet what I have I give unto thee. Jesus Christ, in the name of him, arise and walk. And he does. They're missional in purpose to bring people to faith. And secondly, miracles confirm faith. God is always, always, always the agent at work. Not Peter. Remember when somebody fell at his feet and started worshiping him? He said, no, 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 it's not me. It's God. Everything points to God in a miracle. Everything. And we can see the miracles all around us. I remember when Phoebe, our eldest, was born, I thought she was dead. She was just a gray thing there in the doctor's arms. But that first breath she took, it's like the song that says to us, something beautiful, something good that we see in the baby's breath. A miracle right before us. The apostle Paul, though, too, was taught, because sometimes miracles discourage us. We don't receive a miracle, I mean. At least the miracle we're looking for. Paul prayed, what does he say, 3 times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he says, to keep me from being puffed up with pride, is given a painful element, a thorn in the flesh, as it's put in other translations. I like it better that way, which acts as Satan's messenger to beat me down and keep me from being proud. I prayed 3 times to the Lord and asked him to take it away, but his answer was this, and this has been true in my experience, I'll tell you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfect in this. Not all our prayers are going to be answered, at least in the way we want them to be. But this much we know. I am, Paul went on to say, most happy to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the portion of Christ's power over me. For I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. One day, I shall die. One day, we all shall. More than 3 times I've prayed that this epilepsy, these seizures, be taken from me. I can remember as a child, my mother having someone come in and lay hands on me. But I live with it. But you know, I am convinced. For one thing, I'm convinced that if I hide it, God can't use it. There's no point to hiding it anyhow. It's going to be found out sooner or later. But the other thing, I believe, as believed, that God's power is made perfect in my weakness and in your weakness, whatever it is, if you but let Him. It's your testimony to the power of God in your life. Because when we are weak, then what does Paul say? He is strong. Prayer can go unanswered too, because God is saying, just trust me. Trust me. His answer might be, just wait. Or his answer might be like that to Job. Who are you to challenge me? Did you create the heavens and the earth? Did you plumb the depths of the sea? Did you create the Leviathan? Of course, the answer is not one did Job. Not one did I. Not one did you. But we must trust in God's goodness. The words are omniscience and His omnipotence. His all-power, all-powerfulness and His all-knowing nature. Every day, God is at work, though. In, through, with, and among His people. His kingdom people. Drawing others to Himself. Peter had this miraculous healing with Dorcas. There's been others to whom testimonies have been given, for whom testimonies have been given, of miraculous healings as well. But sometimes they do not come. And my word, as it has been with Scripture, to you would be, God has not abandoned you. It's not because your faith is weak, as some would say. It's not because you're not a good enough Christian. No. It's because I'm not God. You're not God. And we must submit, as Paul did, to His so that whether healed or not, we can say, when I am weak, You are strong. We can say, as God told Paul, My grace is sufficient for you. It begins and ends as the farmer and country magistrate of Silesia, Johann Schweidler, knew the question to be. Ask ye what great thing I know that delights and stirs me so? What's the high reward I win? Who's the name I glory in? But Jesus Christ, the crucified.